Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 1, chapter 6, and verses 1 to 7. Now, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, this morning we've witnessed the installation of one deacon, and it's good for us to be reminded not only of the work of office bearers in general, but also the work of each office in particular. And since we've installed one deacon, then it's fitting that we focus our minds on the work and the office of deacons, and that is what Acts chapter 6 is all about. And so as I prayed, that the governance of the church is very important. The church is very important, and we can't take it for granted, and we can't treat it lightly as though what is out there, but really it doesn't really function in any practical way in our lives. That would be like children thinking that way about the family. It's not really that important. It's just somewhere where we go to sleep and we eat, but that's all it is. I mean, how offended parents would be, and how terrible that would be for children to have that kind of attitude towards the family, or for that matter, citizens of a country to have that attitude about the country. No, if we're really to benefit and to be helped and strengthened by these things that God has provided for us, then we need to understand their importance. We need to understand how it is that they function, and we need to understand how it is that they serve us. What part do they play in strengthening my life? How part do they play in encouraging me in my growth in terms of spirituality, in terms of understanding the Word of God, in terms of just general life, of how I live and the struggles that I face day by day? How is it that the church functions in my life? If it doesn't, then really we are weak. And we need to discover, and even more importantly, to experience what God has put in place for us, that we might receive protection, that we might receive encouragement as we live our Christian life, so that we can grow in our faith, that we can serve the Lord Jesus Christ together, that we can understand and experience what the Christian life is all about, so that we might be enhanced in our experience of our wonderful salvation. And so here then, in terms of the office of deacons, we are taught in this passage how the office originated. How did it come about? When the church started in Jerusalem, through the apostles' teaching and many people were saved, then they had to organize themselves. And at first, it was the apostles. They took on that responsibility. They organized God's people in all of its varieties in terms of the needs of the disciples that were entering into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it happened that God blessed the gospel as it went forth, and there was tremendous growth, tremendous growth. And if you know anything about organizations, that can pose problems. When things grow too quickly, you needed a structure to deal with it. And if you don't, you're going to have problems. If you're a business and it takes off like wildfire, you can have problems. Too much success too quickly, and you're not ready for it. You're not set up for it. And that's the way it was with the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had 12 apostles, but on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 came. So it would be like 12 leaders trying to organize 3,000 people. And it was getting too much. And as happens, mistakes are made. Not intentionally, not that they didn't care about certain aspects of God's people, and so they say, oh, it doesn't matter, that's too menial, we don't have to worry about that. But simply because of oversight, simply because there were just too many people. And not only that, but then when you have mixture of people, so you got Hellenists, non-Jews, and Jews together, that adds another level of complexity to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the world has difficulties with differences in terms of nationality, then those differences don't evaporate just because we're talking about the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It still takes effort to be able to work through those things. And so it happened that as they were doing these things, and they were engaged in, it wasn't that the people just went on the appointed day to worship, and that's all that really mattered. Their lives were intertwined with one another. They didn't just take care of the spiritual needs of God's people, but also the practical needs that they had. After all, they were in a very hostile environment. They weren't treated well by the Jews. And so it was very difficult to be a Christian. And there was a lot of intimidation. And perhaps that spilled over into, in terms of jobs, perhaps, in terms of family relationships, all kinds of difficulties that arose had to be dealt with. And so when they got together with one another, they addressed a lot of these needs. It says, now all who believed were together, in chapter 2, verse 44, were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So they were intermingling their lives together with one another. And as I said, they were in trouble from those around them, to such a point that obviously people had need. And so they began providing for that need. And so people sold some of their possessions and the money they brought together. This is not advocating that that's the way churches ought to run. But it is saying that we have such close connection with one another that if and when such conditions arise in the life of the church, that we are willing to go to that extent as well. And we don't need it here, but there may be countries that you do have that kind of situation where people lose their homes, they lose their jobs. So what is to be done? To say, well, we're just spiritual organization, we don't really get involved in those things? No, no, no. They did. That ought to make you thank God for the church. The church isn't an organization that just is there for you to visit and consume of services and then go home and forget about it and then come back the next Sunday, or to go anywhere else that you please, just like consumer society. No, it's like a family. And if you don't look to the church in those kinds of situations, or you ignore the church in those kinds of situations and think, well, I'm on my own, well, then you really haven't understood the blessing that God has bestowed upon you by making you part and parcel of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It ought to be the very center of our Christian life. You can't be a stranger to the church and be a member of it. So each one is important. Each one ought to be loved and cherished. And thus is the way that life went on in the early church. And the apostles were very much part of that. The apostles didn't have the idea that, look, you know, we're so important, we can't get involved in these menial things. And so you guys take care of that and we'll just focus on the important thing. No, they did all of those things before. So when churches are small and we don't have great needs like it had here, then we shouldn't think, oh, the minister shouldn't do these things. They're too menial for him. I mean, there's nothing menial about it at all. There's nothing menial about changing the diapers of your children, is there? I mean, that's your family. And you do that. And then the work is allocated. Maybe the family gets bigger and bigger and you have to allocate something. But there's nothing menial. Not at all. The elders, the apostles did those things. So there's no task in the church that should be considered menial and below people. After all, it's serving the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ washed the feet of his disciples. In a sense, that was something that they ought to have done. But it wasn't beyond him to do it. And so no one should have this attitude that oh, I can't do that. Oh, I don't want to do that. That's below me. No one should have that attitude. Because we're serving God's people. And we're serving each other so that we may be strong and equipped for everything that we need to be instruments in God's hands of his righteousness. We want everyone to be fit and fully equipped to serve God and his kingdom. And so we have to see to it that everyone's needs are met. And so the apostles, when they heard that this was happening, had to think about what are we to do. And so they, by God's leading, said, well, we need to appoint people because this task isn't something that we can say, oh, well, mistakes were made, or try harder. No, no, no. The well-being of God's people is important, and it was important to the apostles. They said, we can't just leave this thing. We can't just ignore it. And then they called everyone together. And they said, look, you choose among yourselves men of good reputation. I mean, they weren't rulers in terms of with an iron fist. Oh, that's the way some churches are, sad to say. The ministers or the few are the one that are going to choose leaders. You don't get to do it. Because they want to keep power. They want to put men in that they think like them and will act according to them. But that's not what the apostles said, because the apostles didn't have an agenda like that. They said, you choose men. The only thing that we remind you of is that they ought to be full of the Holy Spirit. They ought to be a good reputation, because they're going to have responsibilities, important responsibilities. So we do have to look at the character of the people that we choose, that you choose them and will appoint them, not that we're so powerful, but to convey the fact that this is God that is ordaining, it's God that is calling them. And so we will do that. We'll set them aside so they can see to the needs that you have, whether it be Hellenist or Jewish, or the widows, right? It was widows that were being neglected. That was the charge, that the Hellenist women, widows were being neglected, as opposed to the Jewish ones that seemed to be being taken care of adequately. Now, we don't know the ins and outs of that, but obviously if it was false, the apostles would have said, no, that's not true. So there was something to it. It was true, for whatever reason. And so that was important. The needs of the widows was important. And so the deacons, the office of deacons arose for the well-being of God's people. That's how much he cares about you. That's how much we must care about each other. We can't go by numbers and say, well, 90% of the people are happy, so who cares about the few? No, no, no. It counts. And so that's how the office originated. And it also originated also to preserve the function of the apostles relative to the spiritual well-being of the church and of its members. So the apostles said, look, this is important too. We're not trying to say one is important, the other one isn't. But this is what we're gifted for. This is what God has equipped us with. This is the ordination that he's placed upon us. And even though we're fine and willing to serve in these other capacities and not think it beneath us, but when it comes to the point that the task that God has given us in other areas is neglected, then that doesn't do the church any good either. So for ministers to be so engaged in so many other things that they don't have time to do their task of spiritual guidance and teaching and preaching, then that isn't good for the church either. And so they said, look, this is beyond us. We can't see our way of just having time enough and the energy enough to be so intricately involved in the daily lives of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they said, because this is important, we will appoint deacons so that we can give ourselves with more attention and effort to praying for God's people and for teaching God's people his word. That is vital. And sad to say, sometimes churches can be so busy with so many programs and stuff that the actual feeding of God's people and guiding them in terms of their spiritual lives is neglected. It's like activity in and of itself is spirituality. It's not. We need to grow in our faith. We need to become more and more mature in our understanding and experiencing of God's grace in our lives. That's what makes us stronger. That's what makes us wiser. That's what makes us more effective in terms of helping others, in terms of within the church, and of being faithful witnesses to those outside. Each person needs to be growing in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a few growing and the rest following mindlessly. No. You need to be growing. Each of us needs to grow. We all have to mature to the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it was very important that the apostles gave themselves to this spiritual task that they had been given. And remember, it wasn't just in Jerusalem, they went to other places too. And so they said, because of that, not because we're so high and mighty and we don't want to dirty our hands. After all, they were the ones who had their feet washed by the Lord Jesus Christ. They had learned their lesson. But they also understood how important it was in terms of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's very important then that as elders and ministers of God's word, that we give time and effort to that. We make sure that God's people are being guarded and taught so that they can become stronger and stronger, that they're not people tossed around, as the Word of God says, by every wind of doctrine that comes along. Not that we want to engage everybody and everyone in every latest detail of argument that are going out there in the theological world, but we do want to guard God's people. So as they hear some of these things, they're not disturbed in terms of their faith, and worse still, that they go running after it. So the church is a very busy place. It is the place where God's people are cared for in the most detailed manner. I mean, not that we, as I said, not that we become a communal society and everything is done together. No, no, no. We do have individuals. We do have families. And we do live our lives out there too. But we are a family, as we sung. We are the people of God. And there needs to be substance to that. And you need to ask yourself, where do I fit in? And how do I fit in? Do I just come and go? Do I just observe? Or can I really say that I am part of this family of God? And whatever comes in my life, whatever difficulties arise, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ here in this place will respond. You have to say to people, if you stand on the peripheral of the church, what's going to happen when you really need the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? You think all of a sudden you're going to get this warm feeling towards other people and they're going to come to your home, to your bedside, perhaps in your last days, and comfort you when you never really had a relationship? You can't just turn it on. Now's the time to make sure that we have solid relationships that will be avenues of God's grace in our time of need. And that we, too, not only you receiving it, but you giving it to other people. If you don't have relationships with them, how are you going to serve them? So we need a church that is close. But what is the role of deacons? What are they supposed to do? Well, as the form says, that they are to be responsible for the ingathering of God's, the gifts of God's people. Which was the point of this, the issue here, right? That they were collecting stuff from the membership, and then they were distributing it to those in need. And in this particular case, it was to the widows, and some were neglected. So that certainly tells us part of the task of deacons is the ingathering that's receiving from God's people. And there again, it speaks to the close relationship that we have, that we contribute. We don't sell our lands. Well, at least most of us don't. But we do bring our gifts to the church. For what reason? So that the ministry of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ can proceed on every level, including benevolence. And so we're very thankful that God's people are very generous in this church, and that we do have funds in terms of benevolence, and that we can send gift boxes, for example, to Hermena every 3 months so that she can receive things that she needs in prison. So often we, you know, have this view that prisoners live in the lap of luxury. That's the way it is. Well, they don't. They don't. And so we're able to help them. We'll be able to help people that come into difficulties in their lives over one reason or another, that we can help them too. That's important. And we're certainly thankful as a council and as a diaconate that you generously provide for those things. And we seek not to overlook people. And we seek to use those funds as they are necessary, and that we look into as in as best we can in terms of the veracity of the need. So we're not a welfare state. We just, you know, you just ask and we give, but we seek to find out whether there's genuine need, and where there is, then we help in the name of the church, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not only in terms of gifts, but help too, in terms of helping those with other kinds of need, maybe physical help, right? Helping somebody do something, or helping somebody move. The Henrys moved recently, and so some of us went and helped them pack. That's just brotherly love towards one another. But it doesn't just have to be deacons, by the way. I mean, we can all help, of course. But certainly the deacons are to keep eyes on that so that things are not missed, so that we don't ignore people. Perhaps somebody's not that well connected in the church in terms of being involved. Well, the deacons need to look at that, bring those people in, or to put people in contact with them. So that's an important task that they have. And so not only in terms of hearing the word preached and simply being content with saying, oh, if people come to our church, they hear a good sermon, so, oh, isn't that great? That's all we're going to work on. No. It's more than that. More than that. When people come to the church, they ought to feel that they are cared for as a whole person. And if they have needs, the church is there. The church doesn't just come on Sundays and evaporate for the rest of the week. No. But we're welcoming and nurturing and supporting. And the deacons help us in that. And so we seek to support the deacons. We need to help and encourage them and provide for all that they need. And not only on a local level, by the way, but extend it. Even though the scriptures give us an order to that, a priority to that. I mean, first of all, we have to take care of the household of God, because if we can't take care of ourselves, how in the world are we going to take care of other people? But it does open up the fact that deacons are to be concerned about needs that arise somewhere else, and according to our abilities, that we can respond to those. So sometimes we've sent gifts to the Philippines, for example, when they've had typhoons, hurricanes, whatever they call them over there, and damage is done, so that we help there as well, not only to churches, but also generally in society. So this benevolence of God certainly begins in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it extends beyond that, because God's love extends beyond that. He sends his rain and the sun on the righteous and the unrighteous. So the deacons are not to be neglected. Their work is not to be minimized, because it's important for God to take care of his people on every level. And finally, the requirements of the office. First of all, it said they ought to be blameless. They ought to be people of good reputation. And so they selected seven men, that is, to address these needs. But they have to have Christian character. It's not just what we do, but our whole being is reflected in what we do. And so we need men that have their lives in order. How they can be leaders and lives that are all over the place is just beyond comprehension. But that's the way we have in this world. I mean, that's the way it is in this world. Whether you look at politicians, or perhaps we don't want to go there, but they don't care, do they? It doesn't matter what you have in your life, but they can be good leaders. How in the world is that possible? It doesn't matter what they do in their personal life. How in the world does that make sense? But that's what we're told. That's what we're told. But not in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely not. We need to pick men that have their lives ordered by the Word of God. Whether it be in their workplace or whether it be in their family, they need to be those that are well respected. There needs to be a credibility. Because why? Because they are representing the Lord Jesus Christ. They're representing the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if people view you in a negative way, then what impact are you going to have in terms of the things that you say and do when they know better with respect to your credibility? So it's very important that we choose men that are well respected in a right way, not by worldly standards. Right? Sometimes that's what we do, unfortunately, in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We think if a person is successful in business, they must be good people, so we choose them. No, not necessarily. Not necessarily at all. Or if they're rich, so what? Doesn't necessarily mean that they have a good reputation. No. We need to be more insightful than that. That they have genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That they have humility about them. That they love the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They love God's people. They understand what God has done for his people through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he has done that, then they ought to be willing to do whatever he calls them to do. Nothing is too menial. As I said, that's the way it is. We learn so much from our families, right? Parents, they change the diapers of their children. I mean, can anything be more basic than that? But they do it. They do it. Because they love their children. They care for them. That's the way it is to be in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So people have to have that character of service, both in terms of elders and deacons, as it were. And so we have to look that way and not allow popularity to win the day. No. Men of substance. And men that are directed by the Spirit and the Word of God. There need to be men that feed on God's Word. Men that exemplify the compassion of God according to God's word, that they are well grounded in the truth, so that when they speak, after all, not only elders but deacons are to comfort God's people, not only in terms of practical support, that's one thing, but also consolation by the word of God. The deacons aren't people that just give money or food or stuff like that to people. No. They need to encourage those people by God's word, so they may grow in grace and strength. People of God, as I say, God has provided for us a wonderful place of comfort, of assurance, of help, of strength, so that we might grow as children of God and grow to maturity and grow in our understanding and appreciation of God and serve him and be equipped in all the struggles that we have in this life. Yes, there are other areas where God provides the similar things, for example, Christian family. But the church has a very important and central role. And so not only should we pray for the office bearers that God places over us, but also we need to look into our own hearts and ask ourselves, how am I participating in this family of God? How am I helping? How am I being help to others? And how does the church function in my life? It is this church that the Lord Jesus Christ promised to build and promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. people of God, this is the ark of God that you need to be in, and you need to be active so that we can all grow and mature in our faith. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we once again thank you for the church. And we know how important it is because the Lord Jesus Christ builds it himself and continues to build it. And our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that as we read in your word, as these things were done and done faithfully, the church grew and multiplied. And you added to it daily. And our Father in heaven, we pray that we too may understand the importance, even in evangelism, of having a church that loves one another and provides for one another and preaches God's word and embraces people with love and compassion of the Savior. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would indeed bless the office bearers of this church, bless the members of this church. And our Father in heaven, we pray that we might indeed be that church to which you add those that you've ordained to eternal life. For we pray these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.